Here's a dance you should know. When the lights are down low, grab your baby then go. I do the huckabuck, I do the huckabuck. If you don't know how to do it, boy, you're out of luck. Push your baby out, then you hunch your back. Start a little movement in your sacroiliac. Wiggle like a snake, waddle like a duck. That's the way you do it when you do the hucklebuck.
Hey, not now. Bet and Steny will tell you when. Hey, girls, start talking.
Hello.
Hello, people of Earth, people of Earth.
Welcome to the Hucklebug. I am Steny.
And I'm Bet.
We are Bet and Steny, and it is episode 726 of the Hucklebug. Just count. Woo!
Woo! Means nothing.
It's a number with zero significance.
So have no expectations, people.
Yep. Keep your expectations low, and you will never be disappointed.
That's right.
We shall begin this week with shout-outs. Roar.
Roar.
Hear us roar. And our first shout-out over on Hucklebug.com this week is for Tina. Stand in the place where you live.
Now
leave us a comment.
She says, hi, well, I am all caught up. Sorry I have replies left under the last three episodes. Don't have to read them.
Oh, yeah, we only read for whatever's under the current episode.
That's
FYI.
Right.
We read them. The only ones we read out loud on the show are for the current. I don't mean to say.
We don't ignore them.
We just don't read them out loud on the show.
She's got something for you.
Oh, yeah, Steny. Well done on your play. Thank you. She says maybe if they can't fit it in this season, they will put it on the list for next season. Well, they might do that. I don't know. Perhaps. I'll keep my fingers crossed. I'll let you guys know. I'm expecting to hear maybe end of February, maybe March. I don't know. I'm trying to put it out of my mind now.
January, February, June or July.
That is what it feels like.
And she says, Bet, you're very welcome for the bracelet. I know your birthday is not until the end of February, but wanted to get it sent because I was out of action.
Yeah.
Tina's having a little medical issues. She's fine. She's hopping,
all right.
Jumping, doing her thing.
Okay.
She's great. But, she's had some downtime.
All right. Okay. Well, downtime's good, I guess.
And she hopes we both had a good week. It was interesting for me. That's for
damn sure. Well, I survived it. I'm still here. So I guess it wasn't that bad.
I'm $110.24 lighter than I used to be. But
oh, dear.
Oh.
Well, thank you for your shout out, Tina. And
yay!
Over to our Facebook page. Under the episode on our Facebook page, of course, I left a link for Saskita and Kay the Pal singing yes. Diva's Lament, and also a photograph of the lovely, lovely bracelet that Tina sent sent Bet, so you guys can see it with your own eyes.
And we also have a comment from
yes.
Saskita.
So we need you so.
And she says, and I'll take this one.
This is on you. I haven't seen
right it. On me.
That's right.
She says, last episode, I have to unsnap hard about a real pain. And what she says next, Saskita, I so get this. I maybe didn't get it at the time, but when you put it into words, I got it. It's in the title, not just about one of the lead characters. It's about facing actual reality and personal pain and not glossing over things to put on a good, socially acceptable face. She loved it. And there is, Saskita, there is that scene where Jesse's character talks about what happened with Karen's character that he never understood. And that brought it all back, exactly what you were talking about. So, you know, no wrong answers. You loved it. I didn't.
That's true.
But I understand exactly what you mean. Thank you.
It takes all kinds to make the world go around. We're not as much as we all love each other and respect one another's opinions. We're never all going to like the same stuff. Even Bet and I don't like all the same stuff. But not always. So, yes, always room for differing opinions, of course.
Yes,
here
and
on
we welcome them. I promise you.
We sure do. Bring them on. Up on the missive, we have a shout out for Lily.
Lily.
Which Bette's gonna take this one too. There's most of these are for Bette this week, you guys. It's just how it is.
But I just have to say, Lily, that you commented this is cool enough. That might be my link tonight.
That's a good link.
But Lily, I've been thinking about you all week.
Oh my goodness. She's right in the belly of the beast, you guys.
Exactly. She says, I'm going to presume that we're all playing a certain REM song on repeat. It's been a fun and exciting 2 weeks up here in DC land.
I wonder if she was, she must have been offered the opportunity to quit her job.
I wonder, were you offered a buyout? Please
yeah,
tell
Lily,
them.
Yeah, Lily, were you offered a chance
them
to quit
in the
your
face
job?
When that happened.
Yeah, just spit on them. And I assume the REM song she means is it's the end
it's
of the,
the
world.
It's the end of the world. So
and we know
it yeah.
Must be. But the other one that's been going through my head a lot is Everybody Hurts. So that was, and that was also a little bit relevant as well. Our next shout out is for Doug. We are the Doug.
The Doug.
We are the Starcher. He says, headed to BTG for Lend Us Your Ears. Lend Us Your Ears is our play reading event. It goes on once every 3 months or something like that, the Reader's Theater. So that's what he's going to. Have a great show. He says, P.S. Bette, I have a lot of splaining to do.
Oh, boy, I'd love to hear it. And
maybe a little more about Doug, that perhaps
yeah,
later in the
a
show?
A little more about Doug later.
Okay. A little bit, I assumed so. And our final shout out this week is for Marla.
And she says, hello, friends. Have fun.
Thank you. We will be a little bit more about Marla later in the show, too. Anything about that. But that is all of our shout outs. Thank you guys for leaving those for us. We appreciate you. We appreciate all of you so much. And now we will continue with our show. Bette, you have a movie.
Well, kind of.
a kind of movie. Okay.
Well,
you kind of have a movie. You know, did you only watch the first 10 minutes and go, this
well, I told you I had almost no show.
That's true.
This is where it starts, people.
Okay. Okay.
No, I don't really have a whole movie, but yes, and have we ever, I'm sure we have to have done movies that we didn't finish.
It's a rarity. I think that we have on occasion, but usually it's been the kind of thing where it's like, well, I did start to watch this, but I couldn't finish that piece of crap
right.
or whatever.
But I will always remember you and the Lobster. But I think you did actually finish.
I did. I stayed for all of the Lobster. I did not walk out before it was over. I didn't like it. But I also kept thinking it was going to make sense eventually. And I was wrong about that.
But to have so little show that you include the movie you couldn't finish, that says about it all for me. But this movie is something that came out when it came out late summer, maybe early fall. And I started seeing things like interviews and things. I thought, ooh, this is a movie that kind of looks interesting. Kind of forgot about it. Uh-huh. And then it showed up on Netflix. And I thought, ooh, here's my movie.
Here's my opportunity.
And it's called The Menu.
The Menu.
Yes.
Okay. I've heard of The Menu.
Okay. Well, here's the thing about The Menu. Mm-hmm. It stars Ralph Fiennes.
Right.
And Nicholas Holt.
Oh, who we love.
Can't go wrong there. And who's the... Is it Anna Joy Taylor or Anna Taylor Joy?
I don't know.
The Queen's Gambit actress.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
John Leguizamo is also
in it. Oh, okay. This is a great cast.
And everything about it is set up for me to really like.
Yeah, of course. It's like they said, hey, Bette, we have a perfect movie for you.
Exactly. When you go to IMDb, and this is just like one line, so I'm not going to extend it. The synopsis, a young couple travels to a remote island to eat at an exclusive restaurant where the chef has prepared a lavish menu with some shocking surprises.
Right.
Well, apparently I didn't make it to the shocking surprise.
You didn't get to the shocking surprises?
Well, there were a lot of furtive looks, so they were coming.
All right.
And it has really snappy dialogue, really quick lines.
Yeah.
And it's about a pretentious chef who makes pretentious food and the pretentious foodies who think they're so special.
Right.
You know, everything was set up right. About them. But I just could not get into this movie. Everything about it just turned me off. And I don't know if maybe it was me, it was today, it was too
sometimes
early.
You know, it's just a time of day thing.
If I just like need to take a couple of weeks and try it again.
Yeah, maybe try again.
And see how I feel about it. But it is a movie not finished.
Okay. So no rating.
No.
Can't rate it. You haven't seen it all the way through.
Right. I can't say thumbs down. Thumbs out.
Thumbs out. No thumbs. No thumbs at all.
Siskita, if you've seen it, you can chime in.
Oh, there you go. Siskita, let us know what Bette thinks of the menu.
And like I said, I might try it a little later. But boy, it did not work for me today.
I'm sorry. But, you know, I've had that happen to me many times where I've sat down to watch a movie and gone, nah, just I'm not into this today. And sometimes it is just the day and I'll come back to it later and try again and go, oh, see, now this time I really enjoyed it. I'm in the right frame of mind. But also I've come back and gone, no, I just really don't like Apocalypse Now. I've tried to watch it a million times. And I'm sorry, I'm not wasting any more hours of my life trying to watch that whole movie. I'm not going to do it. All right. Well, so we can't tell you about the menu.
Yep.
I have a binge watch.
Yeah.
Started watching. I didn't finish this. This time it's not a true binge watch because I didn't finish, but I did start watching season 2 of Shrinking yesterday. And I got through 8 episodes, I think. There's 12.
Wow.
The first season was 10. The second season's 12. So I got through a significant, well, you know what? My plan had been to stop at 6, but it was getting really fucking good. So I had to keep watching 7 and 8.
Oh, crap. I should have done that this morning.
Now that would have been fun. We could have talked about that together.
Yeah.
I did just talk about it last week, but it occurred to me that there were a couple of things that I meant to say that I forgot about. So as long as we're talking about Shrinking again, I wanted to add, in addition to the stuff I loved last week, which is Jason Segel, Harrison Ford, Jessica Williams, they're all wonderful. If you guys aren't familiar with the show, they have a psychiatrist like joint practice together. And so the three of them work together. But Harrison Ford's also sort of a mentor to both of them. Harrison Ford's character is also recently diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. So it's about his struggles going through that and kind of coming to grips with that. Jason Segel's character, his wife died a year prior to the show starting. So it's also him dealing with all of those complicated emotions and also how he wasn't really there for his daughter when all of this shit went down.
Well, I was going to say, doesn't his daughter figure?
Yes, very much. And then Jessica Williams' character's got all her own shit going on also. Yeah. But the stuff that I didn't say about it last week that I just want to make sure that I say is I love the opening credits sequence, which is just a really brief bit of song, maybe 30 seconds. It's real short, but it shows these sort of like little action figure type things. They're all trying to navigate a hedge maze together, and they're all finding various ways to get around. Instead of actually following the path of the maze, these little characters are finding ways to either climb over the hedge or dig under the hedge, or one of them plows through it with a riding mower. And all of the little figurines represent different characters in the show. And then it zooms out at the end and you realize that the hedge maze is in the shape of a human brain, which I think just thought was a really clever visual. I just thought it was a cute little opening credit sequence. And then the other, I have to give a shout out to the MVP of the show, which is Ted McGinley. He is amazing. He's so funny. He's the next door neighbor. He's the husband of the next door neighbor.
Okay.
The husband of the next door neighbor.
Boy, it's been so long since I saw that.
In the first season, especially in like the first three or four episodes, really all he does is these little drive-by jokes. He just cruises through a scene, drops a hilarious one-liner, and keeps going. But they started adding to his character quite a bit as the season went on. And in season two, he's got some really great stuff to do also. So I just want to – Ted McGinley is not an actor that I frequently enjoy, but he is so funny in this.
Man, when I start season two, I hope I remember enough of season one to
– There's probably a previously on – shrinking so you can kind of remind yourself at least of who everybody is and what all the different, just to kind of knock the rust off.
But I worry about that with a lot of binge watches.
I do that too.
When I go to next season, I'll know nothing. And then it just comes right back.
It does. It always comes back. And you know, the bits you need to know, they're going to show you in the previouslys. That's always the key. The key is to always watch the previouslys. But anyway, Shrinking season two is just as good as Shrinking season one.
Yay! So
if anybody out there, if you're watching Shrinking, season two is good. And if you're not watching Shrinking, start watching Shrinking. It's on Apple. There you go. What do you got for us, Bet?
Well, highlight of the week.
Yay!
And in keeping with my particular week, oddly enough, this highlight isn't mine.
All right. Borrowed highlight.
Although
highlight by proxy.
In hearing about this, exactly, highlight by proxy, I loved it so much, I had to include it here. And it just made me so happy. It really did. But, you know, it's a hoot and a half, I have to tell you. Pat's back in the office this past week.
Right.
But, you know, she'd been gone the 2 weeks previously. And the first part of it was in New Orleans at the NADA convention that she went to with Brian. NADA, the car book people, you know, everything auto. And, he's the CFO of an auto dealership.
Huh.
So he's obliged to go down there. And so, it's a convention. I've been to conventions. I've been to the company I work for convention. And, you know, on the convention floor, there are just booths and booths of places. Yeah. And they want to give you stuff.
You get swag. You get a lot of coffee cups.
You get swag. Pat brings us back souvenirs from every booth.
I'm sure. Yeah.
But one of the booths on the floor was the Sirius XM booth.
Oh, cool.
And Pat was talking about how great it was. They just want people who buy cars or car dealerships, you know, to promote XM, Sirius XM. And because Brian uses XM at the dealership, that's their background music. He wanted to go out. But besides the swag, Pat said they were giving up the best t-shirts for all of the channels. So she got an 80s channel t-shirt.
Oh, nice, yeah.
But I think Brian got a 70s channel t-shirt. They were having a drawing where if you were a convention person, they would scan your credentials, you know, of course, to get your information, you know.
Yeah. Of course,
But then they would have a drawing and they were giving out big prizes. And some of them were classic vinyls, collector's items.
Nice.
One of them was an electric guitar signed by John Mayer.
Wow.
One was a guitar signed by Chris Stapleton.
Okay.
And after the convention was over and they were getting on the plane to go to their next destination. Pat was getting ready to sit in the chair. And Brian just looked at her and said, Pat, look at my phone and tell me I'm not crazy. And this is what it is. Please tell me I'm not reading something into this that I shouldn't.
Yeah.
And so she looked at it. Apparently, at the end of the convention, Brian won the big deal of the day at XM, which is a Fender. I've looked at the pictures. It's either a Telecaster or a Stratocaster.
Mm-hmm.
with certificates of authenticity signed by Bruce Springsteen.
Wow.
It's a Telecaster.
Okay.
It was the number one prize of the day, and he won it. And when they got back from their second trip, it was already sitting there waiting for him.
Oh, awesome. Wow.
And while I was telling her, Pat, that is the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
I had to ask.
Yeah.
So what is it? Does he hang it on the wall?
I'd hang it on the wall.
Does he sell it? I mean, God, they don't need that kind of money. They got money. Does he give it to Taylor?
That's true.
Or does he, because he's always wanted to try to be a musician,
learn how to play?
I mean, wouldn't Bruce be happy that
I think he Bruce took would be guitar? Overjoyed.
And who else to teach him but Taylor? You know?
That's true.
But as of right now,
Stan's all you gotta just go on YouTube. There's millions of free guitar classes on YouTube.
But as of right now, Pat says, well, he took it to work because, you know, it was work that because he won this and he displayed it. And she said, when he gets back, he's going to give it to Taylor. But I hope Taylor gives it back to him
and teaches him
how to play that damn guitar. But I just thought that was the coolest thing. Stuff like this doesn't happen in our families.
That's fantastic. That's like me winning $300 on the scratcher at Christmas. That doesn't happen either. I understand it. All right, what do we have next? Phraseology.
Yeah.
My phraseology is only going to take a second. And I fear that I have done it already on the show, only because I figured out what the origin was of this phrase, I feel like 6 months ago or so. Mm. And I've been meaning to bring it to the show.
Okay.
And maybe I did and maybe I didn't. The word is finna.
That is definitely not familiar.
Okay. All right.
Finna.
Finna. Okay.
Spelling?
So first of all, F-I-N-N-A.
Okay.
Finna.
Finna.
Now, the first time that I remember hearing the word finna was way back in 2020 when you and I were watching reaction videos. Although, frankly, I'm still watching reaction videos. And I've branched out. Now I'm watching people watch television. That's what I do. Instead of watching television, I watch other people watch television. Do you remember the twins occasionally when they were going to listen to a song?
I love the twins.
You remember the twins? Well, now, okay. So what they would do sometimes on the show is they would say, we're going to listen to Stairway to Heaven by those guys, Led Zeppelin, this week. And from context, I could tell that finna meant going to, just like we say gonna, right? But these young men are saying finna. And then I've run into lots of other people who say finna. And I'm like, now where's finna coming from all of a sudden?
Yeah,
gonna is going to. So what's finna? So I looked it up.
Finally going to?
Fixin' to.
Oh, okay.
We're fixin' to watch this musical or whatever.
I was wondering if maybe that was an Ebonics thing, but no, that sounds like a Southern thing.
It is.
I'm a fixin' to.
Exactly. It has a long history in Southern American English, and fixin' to is a sense of getting ready to, as seen in the early 1700s, as early as the 1700s, where fixing to meant to intend or arranging or making preparations.
Yeah.
By the mid-1800s, the verb was settling into the phrase fixing to. It's still used like this today in some Southern dialects.
Have you made dinner? I'm a fixing to.
Fixing to, exactly. I'm finna make dinner, don't worry. So finna emerged from fixing to in African American English, and it was recorded in hip-hop lyrics as early as the 1980s. But the first time I actually heard anybody saying it was those kids in the twins in their reaction videos.
Are they still around? They've probably gone off to college now.
They are still around, and I think they have gone off to college. And the last time I watched, only one of them was still making the video. But I think occasionally they're together. But yeah, I think they go to different schools, so it's a little harder for them to do shows together now. But anyway, that's Finna, in case anybody else ever heard Finna and wondered why people said Finna instead of Gunna. Finna is short for fixin' to.
Well, if I hear it now, they'll know.
That's right. So that's Finna. All right, Bet, what you got for us now?
Well, I have another new favorite.
And now it's time for...
New favorite.
I like it.
Now, is this actually your new favorite, or is this somebody else's?
No, this actually is my new favorite.
Oh, okay. Good.
And I have to laugh at my new favorite. Mm-hmm. Because it's so old person. It's just so old person.
Yeah.
Has to do with the car. And when I think of old people, I think of them and their cars where they have those beaded seats they put on. You know?
Yeah.
Or they have the sheepskin that they put on the safety belt so it's not too tight.
Yes.
But I've also seen old people do this. Every day, folks, you know, my favorite thing is leaving work and driving around, listening to music.
Yeah.
And when I go up out on my trip, when I come back home on my trip, I'm heading west.
Okay.
And the sun can be absolutely blinding.
Right at you.
When I say blinding, I mean, you don't see the road.
Oh, I know.
You just have to hit the brake.
It's worse when there's ice on the road, because then it's bouncing up off the ice, too.
Yes.
Or even if the road's just wet.
Yes. Anytime the sun is out, I'm doomed.
Yep.
And so I thought, okay, I'm going to Amazon. I'm getting me one of them old people sun visor extenders.
I'm finna get
that
up.
Go down. Like, you got 3 inches of a plate glass of sunglasses.
Yes, exactly. That's what you need.
And it takes away your mirror on the sun visor because it's just stuck there. But I have to tell you, I got it at the beginning of this week. And when I first pulled out and the sun was in my face, I thought, oh dear, this isn't what I was expecting. I was expecting no sun. Well, that's stupid. You know, even with sunglasses.
It's not going to remove the sun. Yeah.
But people, this works. All of the glare is gone. I'm driving along, happy as clam.
That's good. You can see the road.
I'm old as hell. Maybe next I'll get one of them sheepskin things for my safety
belt. There you go. Get one of those sheepskin things for the safety belt. Might make it a little comfier.
Oh.
Or the beads. Get the beads. What's the purpose of the beads?
I don't think I could sit on the beads. That sounds really uncomfortable.
It looks uncomfortable to me, too. I don't know what the point is of that. Then any of y'all have the beads on your seat? Tell us what the, please let us know what the appeal.
I mean, I guess if you shift, they roll with you, maybe.
Yeah, but, maybe.
You know, if the beads.
It also seems chilly this time of year. Well, I want something warm.
Well, if the beads were electric or battery powered and they massaged you, but then again, you might fall asleep. So
see that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's dangerous. You don't want that.
But I'm happy with my sun visor, people.
Well, that's good. As long as you got that. Congratulations on your sun visor. I have an advice column, a brief advice column, which I think brought up.
And you all know I love when Cindy does advice columns.
She does. She loves it, and
it's my jam, people.
It's your jam. That's why it's been saved for last.
No.
This is from Dear Prudence.
Oh, good.
And it seemed like it was pretty recent. It's a brief question. Here we go. My late husband. Dear Prudence, my late husband left instructions for an elaborate funeral, but not enough money to cover the costs.
Oh, dear.
My husband's sister, who had flown in to help me make final arrangements, is insisting that his wishes be carried out regardless of the expense involved. When I explained how much of a financial hold this would put me in with two kids to raise, she threw a fit and accused me of spitting on her brother's memory. Now she's going around telling all the relatives how I am supposedly too cheap to give my husband a proper funeral. I'm so furious. I feel like disinviting her. What's the proper response? Signed, last thing I needed right now. All right. So before
I have thoughts.
Okay, give me your thoughts. Let's hear the thoughts.
The first thought is, I work at the company I work for.
Right.
Buy some damn life insurance.
Yeah, people get life insurance. Although, you know, it says he left plans for an elaborate funeral. So we
right. Okay.
I mean, like if he's talking about having. Whoops. Oops. There we go. Time's up.
But
he's talking about having the Rolling Stones come in and play or something like that. Like, obviously.
But to the sister, you want him to have that funeral?
Pony up
some money.
That's right. Bitch. Start a GoFundMe.
Right.
I actually think the GoFundMe is the best plan. Especially since she's around. Now she's telling all the relatives how cheap you are. Get all of the relatives to give to the GoFundMe. Right. And then there you go. Everybody can do it. That's, I think, the best solution. But yeah, what an asshole. And seriously, the last thing you need right now. I mean, you got enough going on. Now, we don't know anything about how the husband died, whether he left instructions for an elaborate funeral as like a joke because it was something that was a million years off and maybe he died in an accident or unexpectedly, or whether he's been sick for a long time and was like, this is how I want to go out. I've been battling cancer for 10 years and I'm not going to make it. So these are my final wishes. We don't know which it is, right?
Well, and here's the thing, you know, because of the events and the song we love, No Hard Feelings.
Yeah.
We've talked often about our funerals.
Perhaps too much. Perhaps we over discuss it. I don't know.
Do you just want to tell your family, I want the biggest, most elaborate funeral ever?
See, I would never do that, but then I don't know. Maybe some people are into that, but I also would never do it for a wedding, you know? And obviously, some brides, that's all they do is plan their big, elaborate wedding by the time they're 10, right? It's not me.
I want 100 mourners coming in going,
ooh, I don't want anybody there. Ooh. I don't want anybody there, man. It's too much. I don't want the very last thing I experienced to be crowd anxiety. Of course, I'll be gone by then, so I guess it's fine.
Which makes you wonder what kind of a person was he when he was in life?
Yeah, it's hard to know. But you know, that's what I mean.
I want the most elaborate car.
Right, exactly. Is it? Yeah. So we don't know. So we don't know those things, and neither does Prudence. But here's what Prudence's response is.
Okay.
Dear last thing. You may have to modify this suggestion based on what kind of relationships you have with these relatives, but this is what I'd do. Draft an email that's ostensibly about the details of the funeral, date, time, etc., to send en masse to all of these relatives, including your sister-in-law, and address the elephant in the room directly. And then this bit's in quotes. This is the draft, okay? As anyone who knew Clive can attest, we're using Clive as the name of the dead husband, I guess. As anyone who knew Clive can attest to, he certainly had an eye for detail and a great sense of occasion. And no funeral will ever be able to pay full tribute to the wonderful husband and father Clive was. We invite you to celebrate his life and memory with his family, whom Clive took such great pride in taking care of. If there's any confusion on your end about the way we choose to honor Clive's legacy, please direct all questions or concerns to me. Add a smiley face if you feel so inclined. Blast the email out to everyone who needs to know. And that's it. That's all she says. I still think the idea of raising a GoFundMe.
Well, yeah, but I do like the message. I do like the email.
I like the email too. None of your fucking business is basically what it says.
There are other things. There are other ways you could try to get around it.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, talking to that bitch. I mean, really?
I mean, is the mom still alive? Can you sit down with the mom? Because moms obviously exert great power. So if mom is still, if the mom of the late husband and current sister-in-law, I guess she's not really, technically, she's not even your sister-in-law anymore. But if the mom is still around, get her involved. She'll straighten that kid out damn quick. I'm assuming since she's got two kids to raise, she mentions having two kids to raise, I'm assuming that the husband died relatively young and relatively unexpected.
Right. If she says kids, yeah.
Yeah. If she's raising, she's still raising kids, yeah. I'm going to assume that. But imagine that.
And why would
you want to take accusing
your money that you don't have to spend, yeah, and put it there, and then your kids have no money?
Right, exactly. You know, let the kids go to college and shit. So anyway, there's our advice column for the week. And now we'll just do our rules.
But buy life insurance, people.
Please. Yeah, everybody, life insurance. It's a good idea.
You may think it's expensive. It's not.
It's worth it at the end. It's worth it at the end.
Yes.
All right. Who, Bet, is your U rule?
Oh, well, I have a U rule. You might have guessed it.
It is for
We Are the Doug. Mm-hmm. We Are the Starter.
Yes.
And I got a present from him at the beginning of the week.
Yes.
And I have to tell you, Doug, I think I did tell you maybe in a message. I had to let it sit there beside my desk for a couple of days because it was so damn heavy.
Oh.
And I was wondering, how in the hell am I going to get this out to my car? And
all right.
But in the middle of the week, I opened it.
Send light care packages to Bet, everybody.
Well, no. See, any surprise is a good surprise.
That's true.
But about the middle of the week, I finally took my scissors and kind of upended it a bit to where it was vertical so I could pick it up.
Yeah.
And I opened it up. And people, I cannot even tell you what was in that box.
You better tell me what was in
that it box. It was just a cornucopia of happiness. There were three, and I'm still wondering, Doug, maybe you can help me. Stens, maybe you can help me. Or any of you all. Uh-huh. Dry-packed pieces of salmon.
Ooh.
And I love salmon.
Yeah.
And they're local. They're local.
Uh-huh.
And so I had that. Those were easy to carry out. I did it in threes over the next few days. Those were easy to carry out.
Yeah.
Then, oh my God. The chocolates.
Ooh, chocolates.
I got orange chocolate bark.
Uh-huh.
Hazelnut chocolate bark.
Okay.
Then a bag of Belgian chocolates.
Mmm, numb.
Which, folks, if you've ever had a Belgian chocolate,
oh, it's the best.
You can never go back.
Yeah.
Local coffee. Big bags of coffee.
Very nice.
The minute this awful weak coffee I'm drinking tonight from Starbucks is gone from my canister, that's going right in there.
Excellent.
And a bunch of the 3.0 version of Doug stickers.
Oh, I love the new Doug sticker. Yes, the new Doug sticker.
He has a drill.
Little drill.
Yeah,
little drill.
And when I saw them, I was just holding them up in the office saying, Doug stickers. Who wants a Doug sticker?
Okay. Doug stickers for all my friends.
Melissa said, I'll take one.
Oh, that's nice.
I said, Pat, give one to Brian.
Oh, that nice.
And then there was from the same people who do the Doug stickers, there was like a, he said a rear view, no, a rear windshield, very like long sticker that you put at the bottom, that has a picture of the Great Smoky Mountains.
Oh, beautiful.
Which I'm not a fan of the Smokies.
Oh, really?
But and I told Doug, I hope it was
least
okay.
Favorite mountains.
People around here adore the Smokies.
Yeah.
And so we put them out in the office and said, if you love the Smokies, take one of these, put it on your car.
There you go.
The kindness of this man, I cannot even begin to tell
you. It never stops.
It never stops. And all of the Doug stickers that I have now, I swear, I'm going to go out while nobody's watching and just stick them here and there and here.
Excellent.
And there, just all over town. So B-Field will be driving around and saying, what the hell's that?
Exactly.
It's Doug.
It's Doug.
And the letter that he put in the box was so sweet. And he addressed all of us, Pat, Brian, the girls at work.
Aw.
He's just a wonder, Doug.
Honestly, you guys, we just keep saying it every week. Get yourself a Doug. I don't know how else to say it. Just get yourself a Doug, everybody. Also this week on the U Rule list for speaking only for myself, my U Rule this week is for my dear friend Marla.
Yeah.
Marla and I went to see Dear Evan Hansen on Tuesday night.
Ooh.
I know. A lot of fun. And the guy who plays Evan in this touring company is apparently like a friend of the family for her. She had not met him before, but he's well known to her younger sister, Jody, and their family.
Oh.
So she got to go backstage. I was also invited, but I was like, no, I don't think I'm going to do that tonight. And it was also, the play was great. The musical, it was great. The production was great. I had a lovely time, but it was also the night of 10,000 anxieties for me. I had to drive in the snow. There were a number of other things going on, but I also got a couple of pretty bad flashes of crowd anxiety while I was there. So I could not go out at intermission. But Marla, bless her heart, this is why she gets a U Rule. As the final number was ending, she leaned over to me and said, do you want to go during the bows? And that way we can get out ahead of the crowd. And I was like, oh my God, yes, that's totally what I want to do. I want to do that so much.
How incredibly sweet.
I know. She's so wonderful. So as soon as the bows started, you know, we clapped, but then we bolted. And you know, I see people do this all the time and I'm always like, those fuckers. But you know what? Right. Sometimes you got
to
do it.
You have to. Yes.
So I'm going to stop saying
Believe
those fuckers.
Believe me, I know.
I'm going to stop saying those fuckers when I see people leave it at bows from now on.
Oh.
So we snuck out. She walked me to the door and just wanted to make sure that I got out okay. And then, you know, she went back to her seat because she was going to go backstage. So,
right.
You know, just and a big U Rule to Marla. I appreciate her.
Well, and that's the thing about having friends who understand or family who understands that it doesn't bother them to say, do you need this? Do you need this?
Yeah.
Marla. Well, we all knew you rocked anyway.
Yeah, we knew. Yeah, we knew it anyway, right?
You rock and you rule.
My plan had been, and I had discussed this with her beforehand. My plan had been that we would stay in our seats while everybody else left, and then I would leave after everybody else was gone.
That's what I did.
That's what we did for Ben Folds, for example.
You have to plan as well. Yeah,
right. Exactly. So it was already in my mind, but you know what? It was a much better thing to just sneak out a little bit early like that. I felt a little bad because I didn't clap for everybody, but you know. Yeah. We were so far in the back. There's no way it would have been disturbing to the actors. We were way up in the upper balcony. Nobody would have seen it, except the people around us. So, you know, apologize if I bothered anybody as we were sneaking out, but I was having panic attacks, and so that was necessary for me to do. So thank you, Marla. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.
And that is our show this week, you guys. We'll be back next week with another fun episode of The Hucklebug.
Yeah, and maybe some of the things will be mine.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe Bette will talk about her own show next week. You know, Brian doesn't have his own podcast to get on and say, Bruce Springsteen's guitar or whatever. I don't know if it is Bruce. Is it Bruce Springsteen's guitar or is it just a random Telecaster that he signed?
I think it's probably one he signed, but it's signed.
Still, it's amazing. It's still pretty goddamn good. You know, yeah. Bruce Springsteen touched it.
And because of XM and Underground Garage, by the way, the best Christmas present I ever got in my life from Pat and Brian.
Yeah.
Underground Garage, Bruce Springsteen is the king, you know.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. So. Just like Rolling Stone. I used to joke like in the 90s or whatever, I'd pick up a copy of Rolling Stone and go, oh my God, you guys will never guess who's on the cover of Rolling Stone.
Right.
It's Bruce Springsteen.
Once again.
No fucking way. How did he do it?
2 weeks later than he posed last time.
Exactly. He hasn't even released a new album for 4 years, but here he is on the cover again.
He has an opinion about French fries.
Yeah, exactly. We got to find out what Bruce thinks about fries. Does Bruce say pork roll or Taylor ham? We must know. Bruce Springsteen, I'm not even, like, I grew up in New Jersey, obviously, so, you know, you're like, no, you have to, you're not allowed to move out of the state unless you have a copy of Born to Run and Born in the USA.
Right. Well, you know, the thing for me, I wouldn't call myself, you know, a fan who, you know, they do everything.
Right, same.
But I certainly as hell know his place.
You got to recognize history.
And in the early days of like 10th Avenue Freeze Out, all this Born to Run and stuff. Mm-hmm. But there are other songs he writes that I love. I just respect him so much.
Yes.
Please don't think I'm not.
He's a true fucking legend. No,
right,
exactly.
He is a legend.
It's a huge, like, I don't listen to Bruce, but I, you know, if you ask me, would you like a guitar signed by John Mayer or Chris Stapleton or Bruce Springsteen?
Right.
Obviously, Bruce Springsteen every millionth time, right? Every time, every fucking time. I don't give a shit about Chris Stapleton or John Mayer.
And he stays down to earth.
Yeah.
And
he's still a Jersey boy deep down.
And I've not read the book because Pat keeps saying she hasn't finished it. Mm. This is like for 3 years now.
Right. Maybe she'll at this little
Stephen's autobiography. Apparently he tells the story of when he was in high school, he started a band and he wanted Bruce to be in it, but Bruce couldn't be in it because his mother didn't drive, so he couldn't come to the practice. I like that about Bruce.
I like that about Bruce. Sorry guys, I can't. My mom doesn't drive. Imagine how much bigger of a star he would have been if he and Stevie had teamed up just a little bit earlier.
If his mom could have only driven.
Only if his mom drove. Oh, well. All right, gang. So that's our show. Thank you for tuning in. We'll talk to you again next week. Till that time, I am Stenny.
And I'm Bette. And turn in next week when Stenny will say,
I didn't even know.
Oh. Ooh.
Yeah.
There's a mystery.
It's a mystery. It's a mystery. What didn't I know? You tune in next week to find out. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Until next time. Bye. We love you.
We love you. Mwah. Love you, listeners.
Bye.
That's the way you do it when you do the Huckleback.
I'm not tired or proud. I could do this for another hour.